This is the Quality News Network. In Lebanon, the fighting between Hezbollah guerrillas and the Israeli military is now in its eighth day. After nightfall, three more heavy explosions occurred in Beirut's southern neighborhoods where Hezbollah is headquartered. Earlier today, a small number of Israeli military forces entered southern Lebanon searching for Hezbollah tunnels and weapons. Two Israeli soldiers were killed and nine were wounded in the fighting with Hezbollah guerrillas. The Lebanese Prime Minister says that so far 300 civilians have been killed, 1,000 wounded, and 500,000 have been forced from their homes. He described these as unimaginable losses, and he is demanding compensation from Israel. Lebanon's financial minister estimates that his country has suffered $2 billion in damage. In Israel today, Hezbollah rockets hit Nazareth, about 19 miles south of the Lebanese border. Two children were killed. Additional Hezbollah rockets struck five other Israeli cities, including the port city of Haifa, as well, injuring a few civilians. 15 Israelis have been killed so far by such attacks. 14 Israeli soldiers have also died. At Beirut's port today, a luxury cruise liner filled with 1,000 Americans is on its way to the island of Cyprus. This is the first massive evacuation of Americans from Lebanon since the fighting began. There are about 8,000 U.S. citizens who want to leave. The State Department expects that 7,000 of them will be evacuated by Friday. Yesterday, the State Department dropped its plan to force Americans to reimburse the government for these transportation costs. In Iraq today, gunmen kidnapped 20 Sunni government workers. At least 20 people were killed in shootings and bombings, mostly centered in Baghdad. Also in Iraq today, the U.S. ambassador and top U.S. military commander condemned the terrorists and death squads operating in the country. They blamed Shiite and Sunni groups for the increasing violence, and they called on the Iraqi government to take responsibility. On Wall Street today, stocks rallied. Earlier today, Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke told Congress that inflation remains contained. At the White House today, President Bush issued the first veto of his presidency. He vetoed the bill that would have provided federal funding for stem cell research. And for the first time in his presidency, George Bush will address the National Convention of the NAACP tomorrow in Washington. He has declined the group's previous invitations. Across the U.S., the heat wave that gripped the nation has eased a little, especially in the Northeast. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Commerce Department indicates that housing starts in June fell 5.3%. That is a larger decline than economists had expected. The Labor Department reports that in June, consumer inflation slowed. The Consumer Price Index rose by 0.2%. The Wall Street Journal will begin printing advertising on its front page. Yesterday, the New York Times announced they are cutting back the size of their newspaper, something the Wall Street Journal also plans to do. China announced that it has 123 million internet users, giving it the world's second largest amount of users after the U.S., which has an estimated 204 million. A new survey finds that most bloggers are under age 30. The Pew survey reveals that 1 in 10 internet users has a blog, and about 40% of Americans who use the internet say that they read blogs. The company Cinema Now has announced it will sell mainstream movies which can be downloaded then burned onto a DVD. About 100 movie titles will be available. And the U.S. Postal Service has unveiled its new postage stamps which feature comic book superheroes. They will go on sale Friday nationwide. Light sweet crude settled at $72.66 a barrel today. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 211 points, the Nasdaq up 37 points, and the S&P 500 up 23. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dremov. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer,
it's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Happy Hump Day, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday afternoon here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 6 minutes past the hour, and we got a number of things on tap today for the show. A number of stories, but you know what I wanted to focus on primarily is the advent of theocracy into our society. Now, you know, yesterday I talked about veterans and actually had a rerun on Monday because of an illness I had, and I apologize for that. But here I am back with you one more time again. Before I get too far into the radio program, I just wanted to reiterate what our good friend John Fox, my announcer and chief engineer of this network, gave you the information. If you want to get in on the show today, open lines, free speech phones, the whole nine yards, the number is 1-877-443-2366. And if you want something you can easily remember, that's 1-877, the number head on right here. That'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network, where my producer we'll pick up the phone and get you right in on the show. Now, we're also chatting in the Head On Radio Network chat room. If you're interested in our full online experience, go to headonradionetwork.com. Click on the chat room button on our little linky on the left side of the page there, and that'll get you right into our chat room. You have to register a little username, but it'll get you right in there. So, good to be back with you one more time again. I got some stories this afternoon that are primarily aimed at theocracy. Now, you know, one thing I want to make very clear before I get into any of this is that I do not care one's world view. If you are deeply religious and you believe in a deeply religious view, that's your purview, and I'm not going to disparage you as long as you are not taking that view and abusing other people with it. I'll honor that as long as you honor perhaps someone else's lack of a, you know, we're okay with that. However, there are those who are in leadership positions in this country who abuse the fact that you have that view, whatever, whoever you are, using the, you know, hypothetical you, of course. If you are a religious person and you hold a view that's very dear to you about life and you just, that's your thing and you believe that, well, you know, you have a president who is abusing that. I think it is amazing to me to hear a man who is supposedly born a reborn Christian turn around and say things like he did at the state dinner there in London or wherever he was. I think it was in Russia, I'm sorry, where he was talking to Tony Blair and spewed a cuss word as if it were a normal everyday thing for him to say the brown word that we can't say on the air what I was about to say. You know, and it just, it really blows my mind. And it's like one of those things where, you know, if you really have a worldview and if you really believe in the morality of things and if you really think, you know, you're supposed to be born again and all that. Now, I know that we all fall short of the blood of Jesus and all that. And you know, if you're into that thing. Or you know, we're none of us are perfect, etc. But don't claim to be something and then be the opposite. That's what I say. That's the point I'm getting at. If you have a spirit, don't act like, you know, for one group of people that you're some, you know, amazingly perfect Christian dude. And then on the other hand, you know, when you have a private moment, you know, because the deal is that, you know, here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. Integrity, right? We're talking about integrity. That's the bottom line. We're talking about integrity. And having integrity does not mean... Having integrity does not... That was opportunity. Having integrity does not mean being two-faced. Having integrity does not mean saying one thing and doing another. Having integrity does not mean putting a face forward to one group and then another one to another group or another friend or whatever. Having integrity means that you pretty much are who you are, regardless of who you're standing in front of, and you have a system or a belief system that governs your actions. Well, based on the actions, I would say let's look away from the rhetoric and look at the actions of George Bush, for instance. Here's a man who says he believes in life, and yet he sends 2,500 plus American soldiers to their deaths, and no telling how many hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. Here's a man who says he believes in life as long as it's in the womb and not outside of the body, and yet once it's outside of the body, well, we can't pay to have that kid raised. We can't, or you know, we can't pay lower income folks welfare to help their child be able to experience the finer things in life, such as eating decent food. No, we can't do that. We can't raise a minimum wage so that people can live. There's that life word again. So that people can live at a better wage. You know, so you know, we hear these people who are pro-life, and him being one of them, that are actually anti-life, in my view. They're not pro-life. What they are is pro-rich life. They're pro-corporatist life. They're pro-white Anglo-Saxon Protestant life, but not necessarily those people of color who are living in poverty. Now, as I said earlier, we're going to get into theocracy a little bit. And the reason why we're going to do that is because I want to point out the hypocrisy, if you will, of the theocracy of George W. Bush. Because there isn't a tremendous amount of hypocrisy in his theocracy. Now, what is a theocracy? A theocracy I'm just going to do layman's terms. I'm not going to pull up the dictionary definition and make you wait on air for me to do that. I'll do that during the break. But a theocracy to me is a system of government that is governed by religious principles rather than by secular laws. Okay, and I mean there are different forms of government. There's democracy. There's, you know, I mean we have all these different forms of government. There's, you know, socialistic governments, you know, parliamentary governments, etc. Well, a theocracy to me is the melding of the government. For instance, like we have right now, where we have the religious right tends to call the shots. Now, we're not talking about mainstream religious folks, because if you are one, that's fantastic. I'm talking about the folks like Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, there's another hypocrisy for you. You know, let's talk about a culture of life and call for the assassination of a foreign leader. Yeah, that's real. That's real smart. Well, what I wanted to talk to about today is the melding, if you will, of the government and religious thought. And today's decision by George W. Bush to veto the stem cell bill that was passed by the Senate and U.S. House of Representatives is a direct causal, has a direct causal relationship with that. And, you know, I happen to have in front of me the actual statement that he wrote. And we're gonna read that to you after the break. It's about 15 minutes past the hour. We're going to take our quick break now, and then what we will do is come back to you and read you the statement that George W. Bush signed, the veto statement that he sent to the U.S. House of Representatives. If you want to get in on the radio program today, you have that ability. You can avail yourself of free speech by dialing 1-877-443-2366 or emailing me, Bruce, at brucebirch.com. Good to be back with you, and I'll be right back.
Must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart.
Yeah. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now, it's ours.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Ain't about my pistol, ain't about my boots.
right, back on the Bruce Burch radio program, radio for a freer America. That's right, a freer America. Freer than what we got right now, folks. I told you I was going to read you a statement when I came back from the break regarding the president's, the residents, the guy there, the king, emperor, Georgie. Yeah, that guy. I was going to read you the statement he sent over to the House of Representatives, and it says, to the House of Representatives, I am returning herewith, without my approval, H.R. 810, the Stem Cell Research Enhancement Act of 2005. Like all Americans, comma, I believe our nation must vigorously pursue the tremendous possibilities that science offers to cure disease and improve the lives of millions. Yet, as science brings us ever closer to unlocking the secrets of human biology, it also offers temptations to manipulate human life and violate human dignity. Our conscience and history as a nation demand that we resist this temptation. With the right scientific techniques and the right policies, we can achieve scientific progress while living up to our ethical responsibilities. In 2001, I set forth a policy, a new policy on stem cell research that struck a balance between the needs of science and the demands of conscience. When I took office, there was no federal funding for human embryonic stem cell research. Under the policy I announced 5 years ago, my administration became the first to make federal funds available for this research, but only on embryonic stem cell lines derived from embryos that had already been destroyed. My administration has made available more than $90 million for research of these lines. This policy has allowed important research to go forward and has allowed America to continue to lead the world in embryonic stem cell research without encouraging the further destruction of living human embryos. H.R. 810 would overturn my administration's balanced policy. I'm sorry, okay. The king of imbalance is talking about balanced policy. H.R. 810 would overturn my administration's balanced policy on embryonic stem cell research. If this bill were to become law, American taxpayers for the first time in our history would be compelled to fund the deliberate destruction of human embryos. Well, hell, George, we're funding the deliberate destruction of living human beings. What the freak? What the hell's the difference? Crossing this line would be a grave mistake and would needlessly encourage a conflict between science and ethics that can only do damage to both and harm our nation as a whole. Because there's a war. There's a war. There's a war between science and ethics right now, and this would be a shot across the bow. All right, page two. Advances in research show that stem cell science can progress in an ethical way. Since I announced my policy in 2001, my administration has expanded funding of research into stem cells that can be drawn from children, adults, and the blood and umbilical cords with no harm to the donor, and these stem cells are currently being used in medical treatments. Science also offers the hope that we may one day enjoy the potential benefits of embryonic stem cells without destroying human life. Researchers are investigating new techniques that might allow doctors and scientists to produce stem cells just as versatile as those derived from human embryos without harming life. We must continue to explore those hopeful alternatives so that we can advance the cause of scientific research while staying true to the ideals of a decent and humane society. I hold to the principle that we can harness the promise of technology without becoming slaves to technology. No, just to rich, white-run corporations. And ensure that science serves the cause of humanity. If we are to find the right ways to advance ethical medical research, we must also be willing, when necessary, to reject the wrong ways. For that reason, I must veto this bill, signed The Decider. I mean, George W. Sorry, I got a little carried away there. So there you are. You know, that there's the statement that he wrote. I mean, you know, again, let's go back over this. And I want to take it a little bit slower. I read it to you, but I there's a few things that I wanted to point out. The first thing is that, you know, this, again, when we're talking about conscience and science, you know, there are many scientific techniques and there are many scientific practices that have happened through the history of the world that have been completely without any kind of conscience. And many of these were funded by and you know, carried out by major corporations within the United States, and nothing has ever been said about the developments of those. Wonder where the helmet that people ride around on their motorcycles, guess where the research for the helmet came from? Based on everything that I've read, the research for the helmet came from the Nazi death camps. Put that one in your pipe and smoke it. He set forth a new policy on stem cell research that struck a balance between the needs of science and the demands of conscience. I would say the demands of the far religious right. Now, you know, I know a number of people. I have a very, very close friend, who has Parkinson's. And, you know, it is my sincere hope that someday there's a cure for Parkinson's disease, or at least a treatment that would not create more harm than good, or for cancer, or for ALS, or for any debilitating disease that is ravaging a person's body. Stem cells provide the most hope to create treatments for these diseases, and yet what he wants to do, and what he has done, is to outlaw the use of the most versatile, in his own language, of those stem cell lines. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about stem cells. We're talking about a puddle of goo. We're not talking about, you know, a fetus, folks. We're not talking about a fetus. We're not even talking about, this is like the byproduct of in vitro fertilization. Okay? Now, the other thing that I wanted to point out in this letter or in this document is the fact that he draws the direct line between stem cell research and life, as if to say that being for stem cell research must make you against life. This entire idea is flawed at its very premise. But because of the folks that are pushing harder on the far right, on the far Christian religious right now, don't get me wrong here, folks, far Christian right. We're talking about the folks who would make this country into another Taliban-run empire if given the chance. Because of their direct hotline, I think they have their own phone line set up at the White House for George to answer. He has to make this tie. Now, the fact that he doesn't care if soldiers go off to war and get killed tells me that he's not necessarily, you know, I mean, he's not been to one funeral of any of the soldiers. You know, I don't know that he sent one letter handwritten to any of the soldiers. And yet he wants to talk about destroying life. Yeah, it's totally, totally ridiculous. Well, Mr. Decider, you made a good one today, and basically what you did is probably sign another death warrant for the Republican Party. We're going to take a break, and then we will come back, and we will hit the phone lines. If you want to get on the radio show, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. Free speech phone line. Get on it. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Alberto Gonzalez didn't exactly catch a spear for Bush when he testified before the Senate on Tuesday. Asked by Arlen Specter why the Justice Department called off its own investigation of the NSA spying scandal, the Attorney General pointed his finger straight to the top. "Wasn't me, it was the President's decision," he said. Gonzalez then tried to put a sheen on it by saying Bush just wanted to limit the number of people who had access to the classified program. That's their line anyway, and they're sticking to it. Seems obvious, though, that the real motive was to stop any Justice Department investigation in its tracks, lest it reveal any illegality. Can you say cover-up? Zoe Lofgren can. The president's latest action, says the Democrat from California, shows that he's willing to be personally involved in the cover-up of suspected illegal activity. She's right about that. Bush's decision to deep-six the Justice Department investigation should be added to the growing list of particulars on John Conyers' impeachment drafting table. Remember, the thing that got Nixon ultimately wasn't his role in the break-in, but his role in the cover-up. We should be so lucky this time. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage, when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
I can feel no sense of measure, no illusions as we take refuge in young man's pleasure, breaking down the dreams we make.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, and it's about 35 minutes past the hour, thereabouts. If you want to get in on the show today, you have that opportunity. The number is 1-877-443-2366. Let's go over to the phones. Our good friend Jim is calling. Jim, how are you doing today?
Hi there, Bruce. I tell you, you know, Matthew, you sound great when you sound like George Bush. I swear to God, all the fudge in the jar got hard when I listened to that.
Oh, my goodness.
It did indeed. You did a weird
Well, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
He's a piece of work.
He is a piece of something, for
I
sure.
Mean, you know, he is a walking colonoscopy. Because his head is in that portion of his anatomy. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I didn't think I said anything out of the way, did I?
No, you didn't. You didn't.
No.
I was actually trying to make a popping noise, but I don't think it happened.
I will slap you. But, you know, honest to God, when I saw him in St. Pete, and I don't mean Florida, chewing his cud, and making those sounds, and then, of course, letting the S word go, you know, just such an elegant person.
He really is. I mean, you know, you could literally see the bits of food flying out of his face on that video clip, eh?
Really? And as far as conscience, the man doesn't have one. And as far as science is concerned, he probably got a D in the Betty Crocker chemistry that he probably took wherever he went to school that his daddy got him into, you know?
Well, we're just having a good time today, aren't we?
Uh-huh.
I said, we're having a good time today, aren't we, Jim?
Why not? Had to buy a new tower this afternoon. I may as well laugh at something.
Well, you know, I can't believe. Well, first of all, I think it's very interesting that this is the one bill in 6 years, 5 years anyway, that he's vetoed. And that speaks volumes.
A bill that could help people.
Yeah, a bill that could help people.
I mean, when I see these advertisements like Michael J. Fox and stuff like that, and when I see what Parkinsonism has done to people, and, you know, you look at Muhammad Ali, and then you look at what he once was, and, you know, you see the poor man, I dare say that he could probably walk now. And, of course, its eventual end is the eventual end. I mean, not many people recover from Parkinson's, from being a Parkinsonian. And, you know, but you let one of these people get something like that, I'll guarantee you one thing, they'd be the first person in line. You know, it's kind of like Roy Cohn. Remember him who said he wasn't gay? Yet he was one of the first ones trying to knock people out of line at the National Institute of Health to get AZT when it came out.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
well,
really. I mean, I don't understand. You know, being a Christian does not mean being a right-wing crazy person like some of these other people or some fuddy-duddy who walks around like they've got a broomstick up the rear end. That's not what being a Christian is. And these people, in my opinion, are not true Christians. And if they've got it ain't going up. It's going somewhere down.
I agree. But the problem is, Jim, is that the far-right Christian practices have hijacked, you know, the very idea of what being a Christian is all about. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, some of the stuff I think is almost foretold because, you know, you've got forces at work that are evil that are designed to do just exactly that. And, you know, these are counterfeit Christians, you know?
Yeah.
I guess for everything good, there's something evil. And these are these people, in my opinion, are the antithesis of good and the exact opposite of what, you know, the message of Christ is all about, in my opinion.
Well, and I wonder, you know, and that's there's a question for you. I wonder, you know, if the Bible were written today and Jesus were walking the earth today.
They'd be the first ones to drive the nails in.
What I wonder is how he would, what he would say about embryonic stem cell research.
Well, I don't think that I've ever heard of him trying to kill anybody. The only thing I ever heard him doing is trying to heal somebody and bring somebody back from the dead. And he simply just did good things for good people. And in the Sermon on the Mount, I mean, you've got these so-called Christians who will labor like scholars over the pedigree of their own ignorance, but yet every one of them, had they been at the Sermon on the Mount, would have snored right through it. So sir.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, I'm kind of chuckling. I guess because it's refreshing to hear, Jim, someone who has a Christian belief, who looks at this bunch of folks and recognizes them as the kidnappers of your religion.
Well, I resent the heck out of it. I really do. I don't like it because it has turned something that was supposed to be very good into something that is very, very bad, and it's causing a lot of people to miss the real point of it. And you know, these guys are going to pay for this one day. They really are. And I would not trade places with any of these people, with all their power and money and what they have on this earth, for all the tea in Mexico. I'm not kidding.
Is there tea in Mexico?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me ask you one more thing,
uh-huh,
Jim.
Uh-huh.
And that is this. When you are, well, you're right on today. But the question is, when how do you deal with folks? Now, you know, obviously you're a fairly devout Christian. I assume you go to church. How do you deal with folks at church who are right wing? And you know they're right wing, and you know how they fall down on a lot of stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, Ruth, the trouble is I have disabilities, and I'm basically a shut-in. I don't get out that much. I can't take crowds very much, and I suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome, okay?
Okay.
And I don't get out among, and basically my church going is basically watching the Mass from Notre Dame or some of the other services that I see there. And you know, talking on the phone with other people because I can't get out in crowds too much. And that's an honest answer, okay? And yeah. If I were to have to deal with some of these people and hear some of their talk, I'm afraid I wouldn't be getting along with them too well because I think that I would have to speak out against them, and I would probably, if I went to some of these more fundamentalist churches, be asked to leave or be excommunicated or whatever they do, or maybe somebody would throw a rattlesnake at me. I don't know. But I mean, you know, I believe in this, you know, you don't have to get into the marketplace and beat your breast and smote your breast and tell people about how great you are. But, you know, when you want to deal with God, you enter a closet and you pray by yourself. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Spirit of God is within your heart, not a building. I mean, I love church architecture. I love church music. And I'm not talking about, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, the Mass, the things like that, the older music that was in the 16th and 17th centuries, those are my preferences. Other people like the hymns, that's fine. But I mean, I'm just saying that a real church is in a man's heart, and it is not confined to a building, no matter if it's as magnificent as St. Peter's Basilica or Chartres Cathedral in France, or the lowliest thatch hut that a person can put up as a missionary. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and I guess I started off the show because one of the things, I don't know if you were listening to the very beginning.
I did,
the very beginning
about
of the
hypocrisy.
Show, yeah, because I think, you know, what, you know, who you are and who I am as a person, you know, directly comes from my worldview about things such as ethics or things such as integrity, right?
Yeah,
and if you have no integrity, then how can you express it, or how can you present that to the world? I haven't seen any integrity in this man.
It's all a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He has none. You know, basically, there isn't any integrity in this man that I can see. I mean, you know, this is basically a very crude individual who has no respect for human life. And, you know, basically has his own interests at heart and his own agenda. And he's going to push that agenda forward come hell or high water. And, you know, what I want to ask him is this. How long can his power last? How much, you know, money can he make? How much more pomp and circumstance can he have left? And what's he going to do when he has to answer some of this stuff one day? That's, you know, I would not trade place with that man for all the whatever and whatever. That's for sure. And I think it's just, you know, it's really, he's just a stain upon the pages of American history. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I mean, I realize I'm not as clever as I pretend to be, Bruce, but I can tell you this. I know real from counterfeit, okay?
Absolutely.
And this man is counterfeit. He's air socks. And,
yep.
And speaking of hypocrisy, I've got something to end on my little conversation. I call this hip-hopocracy.
Hip-hopocracy?
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie
Soul Plane?
No, I haven't.
Well, it stars these fantastic stars like Tom Arnold and Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Okay.
And there's a purple aircraft the size of a jumbo jet, and they managed to land it in Central Park. If you see that movie,
that sounds like great fun.
Put the kids to bed, then watch it, and get the unrated version.
Okay,
it is truly cinema verite.
Well, I definitely will check it out.
Check it out, my friend. I'm glad to see you back on the air and feeling better.
Well, I'm glad to be feeling better and back on the air. I hate the summertime colds, man. They just, ugh, they're terrible.
Well, that's like that old song. I wrote to my congressman. He gave me the news. There ain't no cure for the summertime blues. You're too young to vote, boy. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I enjoyed our little chat. My cat sends Poochie hello. And
I certainly will.
We'll be talking to you later, and you just keep on trucking, as Mr. Natural would say.
I will, you know I'm going to do that. Thanks a lot for the call, Jim. I appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. You take care of yourself.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And that's our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere in these United States.
Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid. We didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid, weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch, Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. 866-4484. Thank you.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from the inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Boy. All right, you're back with the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 7 minutes before the hour, and there was a little bit of a long break, mainly because I just had this crazy thunderstorm pop up out of a clear blue sky, I swear. And it's not even on the radar right now, but it's raining like hell outside. I don't get it. Twilight Zone, man, I'm telling you. Telling you, man, it's like Twilight Zone, dude. All right, I just wanted to, we're going to wrap up this hour and come back for the next hour, but what I want to do on the next hour, provided, of course, that I'm able to get out to you, you know, depending on the lightning and the you know, wrath of God type of stuff going on outdoors, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this theocracy thing, because I have another couple of stories that are directly related to this idea that faith-based organizations should be on level playing field with seasoned professionals. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think they should be. I'm also going to tell you why I don't think religion has a place in the social services atmosphere. Now, you know, many religious organizations do a bunch of great social services work, and they do it without, a lot of them, do it without any sort of demands placed on the client or whoever is coming to seek services, aside from, you know, just saying, yeah, you know, we're glad you're here. Come on in, have something to eat. Or do you need help with your rent or your electricity? Or do you need a shelter for the night? You know, that kind of stuff to me is fantastic. And I think more should do it. Like the American, what is it? Who is it? I'm thinking about, is it the, I'm trying to think of the, who is it that does this? Might be the Friends. Well, the American Friends Service Committee, I know that they do a lot of work around immigrant rights, you know, and work and do a lot of work with immigrants, as well as a lot of work around peace and justice issues. But my point is that, you know, if your faith doesn't drive you based in principle, if your faith doesn't drive you to want to help other people and do so without strings, right? It's about attraction rather than promotion, right? It's about attraction rather than promotion. Then what good is your faith? I mean, what does your faith do for you if it doesn't drive you to want to help others? You know, and I think this is an especially poignant conversation to have, primarily because look what's happening in the Middle East right now. Look what's happening in Lebanon and Palestine, Israel over there. Look, these people are killing each other because of their faith, you know? They're killing each other because of their religion. I mean, you know, we can call it what we want to call it. The reality is we know what the deal is. It, you know, this latest conflagration is nothing more than a continuing war that's been going on between those people over there for, you know, for decades. Perhaps even thousands of years, you know. So, you know, I want to talk more about that. When we get back after the break, we're going to talk about some faith-based organizations and, you know, kind of what those people are doing using federal dollars. And does that violate the separation of church and state? Does it violate the imaginary fluctuating wall that stands between the church, between religious thought and religious institutions, and the institution of government? Are we not a government of laws? And more importantly, where do those laws come from? Did they just sort of pop up out of thin air, or are they as a result of people's values? And where do those values come from? Boy, we're getting deep now. You know, because I do believe, absolutely, that the principles that we have on the books that we call our laws are based in our principles as human beings, which in a greater scheme of things is based in moral values. It's not okay to kill people. It's not okay to do that. It's not okay to beat children. It's not okay to declare preemptive war. Oh, wait a minute. We changed that one. And it looks like I'm going to take a quick. I know we've got our news coming up, but and I need to, Mr. Producer. I have a Mr. Producer today. His name is Zach. Everybody, clap for Zach. I got to take a quick break, my producer, and if you could just run a couple promos, and then we'll do the news, because I have a storm blowing up. I need to check and make sure some things are taken care of here. But I'll be back after the top of the hour, and if not, then you'll hear a rerun of some sort. But hopefully I'll be back to talk about stuff for the second part of the hour. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Freer America. I'll be right back.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided they can't be with it, that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and 4th Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
The Hour.
This is the Quality News Network. In Lebanon, the fighting between Hezbollah guerrillas and the Israeli military is now in its eighth day. After nightfall, three more heavy explosions occurred in Beirut's southern neighborhoods where Hezbollah is headquartered. Earlier today, a small number of Israeli military forces entered southern Lebanon, searching for Hezbollah tunnels and weapons. Two Israeli soldiers were killed and nine were wounded in the fighting with Hezbollah guerrillas, one of whom was killed. The Lebanese prime minister says that so far 300 civilians have been killed, 1,000 wounded, and 500,000 have been forced from their homes. He described these as unimaginable losses and demands financial compensation from Israel. Lebanon's finance minister estimates that his country has suffered $2 billion in damage. In Israel today, Hezbollah rockets hit Nazareth, about 19 miles south of the Lebanese border. Two children were killed. Additional Hezbollah rockets struck five other Israeli cities, including the port city of Haifa as well, injuring a few civilians. 15 Israelis have been killed so far by such attacks. 14 Israeli soldiers have also died. At Beirut's port today, a luxury cruise liner filled with 1,000 Americans left for Cyprus. This is the first massive evacuation of Americans from Lebanon since the fighting began. The U.S. State Department expects that 7,000 Americans will be evacuated by Friday. On the second front in Gaza City, a total of 9 Palestinians were killed in separate Israeli military operations. This is Israel's third week into the territory, which began after an Israeli soldier was captured. In Iraq today, at least 60 people were killed in shootings and bombings, mostly centered in Baghdad. Over the past 2 days, gunmen kidnapped 20 Sunni government workers as they were traveling home. On average, 100 Iraqis have been killed a day in recent violence, according to a UN report released yesterday. On Wall Street today, stocks rallied. Earlier today, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress the economy seems to be moderating and that inflation remains contained. At the White House today, President Bush issued his first veto of his presidency. He vetoed the bill that would have provided federal funding for stem cell research, saying it crosses a moral boundary. Political analysts expect that neither the House nor the Senate will be able to reach the two-thirds majority vote to override the president's veto. And in Washington, a new study finds that meth abuse is the number one drug problem in the U.S.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Commerce Department indicates that housing starts in June fell 5.3%. That is a larger decline than economists had expected. The Labor Department reports that in June consumer inflation slowed. The consumer price index rose by 0.2%. China has announced it has 123 million internet users, the world's second largest amount after the U.S. A new survey finds that most bloggers are under age 30. The Pew survey reveals that about 40% of Americans who use the internet say that they read blogs. A Japanese company plans to release the world's largest plasma television in the fall. Matsushita's 103-inch plasma television will sell for the equivalent of $50,000. The company Cinema Now announced it will sell mainstream movies which can be downloaded and burned onto a DVD. About 100 movie titles will be available for this first-of-its-kind service. The Walt Disney Company plans to cut 650 jobs worldwide. The restructuring will focus on more blockbuster franchise films and will reduce the number of Disney movies a year from 18 to a dozen. And the U.S. Postal Service has unveiled its new postage stamps, which feature comic book superheroes. They go on sale nationwide Friday. Light Sweet Crude settled at $72.66 today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 212 points, the Nasdaq up 37 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramoff.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Freer America, I'm right now broadcasting from an undisclosed location where it is raining like hell. It's raining like hell. My God. Still hasn't shown up on the radar. This is so strange. This is just the strangest damn thing in the world I've ever seen. This is like this might be the end times, folks. Maybe it's God saying, you better ease up on me, man. You better back up. Back up. Back up, Brucey. Okay. There that is. Now, as I was saying earlier before I was so rudely interrupted by the thunder, stupid thunder, I was talking about the faith-based deal and the faith, the faith community. Now, there are a lot of faith-based organizations out there that do a lot of wonderful work, and they work within the community to help those who are less fortunate. They work within the community to provide shelter for those who need shelter. They work within the community to do a lot of really neat stuff. Now the question is, what's the limit on what they can do to recruit members? And really, I don't want to play semantics here. As a friend of mine once said, well, their job is to evangelize. Their job is to bring people to Christ or whatever or whoever. And so they feel like it's necessary to do what they can to preach their gospel. Now, what the problem is that if federal dollars are being used to do that, we have an issue. Because essentially what's happening is a nonprofit organization who has a grant, a faith-based Christian organization that has a grant to do homeless housing or to do shelter or to do, whatever it is that they do, work with kids, etc. If they are proselytizing or preaching during the time that they're supposed to be paid by the government to do social services work, then essentially what's happening is the United States government is paying them to be preachers. They're on the government payroll to be preachers. It's a WPA, a civilian conservation corps for the religious folks. Today, the General Accounting Office is saying, I'm sorry, this is not today, this was yesterday, a study that is released by Representative George Miller, 7th District of California, and Pete Stark, finds that the Bush administration offers inadequate safeguards against discrimination in federally funded social services programs carried out by faith-based organizations. The GAO, the General Accounting Office, also found that the White House has no way of knowing if its faith-based initiative is actually achieving its goals, though the initiative resulted in the awarding of more than $2.1 billion, that's billion with a B as in Bruce, of more than $2.1 billion in federal grants to faith-based organizations in fiscal year 2005 alone, the GAO found that few measurable standards had been developed or implemented to evaluate the program's effectiveness. Pete Stark, the senior Democrat on the House Ways and Means Health Subcommittee, says, quote, "The report shows that the Bush administration has sent billions of taxpayer dollars to religious organizations without accountability for how the money is spent." He goes on, "The Bush administration has failed to develop standards to verify that faith-based organizations aren't using federal funds to pay for inherently religious activity or to provide services on the basis of religion. Taxpayers shouldn't have to take it on faith." I love how he put this. "Taxpayers shouldn't have to take it on faith that programs without standards for success are having a measurable impact." Representative Miller, Congressman Miller, senior Democrat on the House Education and the Workforce Committee, says, quote, "Faith-based organizations provide important services in communities around our country. That is not in doubt. What is in question is how the Bush administration manages the federal government's role in funding faith-based groups. The Bush administration has a responsibility to make sure that federal taxpayer dollars are not being sent to organizations that discriminate, but it is failing to uphold that responsibility." So while on the one hand you're being told you can't discriminate based on all the things you're not able to discriminate on, sex, religion, lack of religion, whatever, there is no safeguard in place to ensure that this is indeed being done, or not being done as far as the discrimination. As a result, we don't know if Americans who are eligible for services are missing out on them because of their religious beliefs. This has been a glaring problem from the beginning of this initiative, and it must be corrected. Now, the GAO report itself cites several examples on how these faith-based organizations are discriminated, or actually are using their time that they're being paid by federal dollars to proselytize or to preach. Now, today is Wednesday, and we know today is going to church day. And today on the Bob Kincaid Show is prayer meeting night. Y'all stick around for that, of course. But it's part of the reason why we're doing this topic today. Get you warmed up there. Get you warmed on up there. When we come back to the radio show here very shortly, we're going to go over to some of these examples and I'm going to, give you some examples of what's going on out there in some of these faith-based organizations and how some of their activities are being funded from your tax dollars for them to do religious work. Not spiritual work, mind you, and not necessarily even social services work, but religious work, proselytizing, pushing God and Christianity on people. I've always been told that if what you got is so good, then people won't want to. You won't have to force it on them. Hell, they'll steal it from you, right? I think Dick Gregory said something like that. And in actuality, that's the reality here, folks. Level playing field, there's a reason why some of these organizations haven't gotten government money, because their job is to do something inherently non-governmental. And that's to try to we just had a blip there on electric, so. You know, and that's their job. The job is to do religious stuff. And they do it well. But do they need government money to do that? And I say no. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show, you too can avail yourself of our free speech phone lines. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. Bruce@BruceBirch.com is my email address. Drop me a line. We'll be right back after this break.
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell there are no rich no more.
Following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
Conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I've I've just got one question. Can I want an answer? Tell me, who would Jesus bomb?
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio program. Glad to have you back with me. Yes, of course. Yes, of course. All right, we were talking about some stuff here, as we do every day, talking about the faith-based initiatives, faith-based organizations, and the Bush administration, and the lack of oversight on their activities that the General Accounting Office, you know, the GAO... The GAO, which is the watchdog of the federal government, has been issuing reports for 5 solid years on how illegal and how unethical and how in opposition this administration is to the rules of government, and they just get ignored. I mean, it's like, you know, nobody's like, oh, well, it's just another report by the GAO, man, no big deal. And what's happening is, because of that, you know, it's like, I guess it's the boy who cried wolf effect, I guess. I don't know. But the GAO came out with another report yesterday. And in this report, it's basically saying that there is no realistic oversight of the faith-based organizations around the country. And because of that... many of these organizations are actually doing activities that are inherently religious in nature. Now, let's do this. Let's take a look at some of these activities. GAO, the Government Accounting Office, conducted semi-structured interviews with 26 selected faith-based organizations in 4 states to determine their understanding of program regulations and the extent to which they have been monitored for compliance with the key safeguards related to the initiative. They selected faith-based organizations that received federal project and formula grants in 2003 or 2004 from the 10 programs included in their review. Finally, they interviewed independent auditors in 3 states who had completed single audits for a few of the selected faith-based organizations. The GAO acknowledged that because they used a non-probability sample of faith-based organizations, their findings were not generalizable to all faith-based organizations receiving federal funds from the programs included in their review, which basically says, okay, yeah, even though we did a sampling, the sampling isn't really a sampling. Anyway, the GAO... found that 4 faith-based organizations described engaging in activities that appeared not to be permissible with federal funds under the equal treatment rules. For example, officials from 2 of the faith-based organizations told the GAO that they would pray with beneficiaries at the beneficiary's request. That's the first strike. I wish I had a whip sound. While voluntary prayer is permissible as long as it is offered separately in time or location from program activities conducted with direct federal funds, these officials indicated that they had conducted prayer at the same time and location as their federally funded services. In addition, an official from another faith-based organization said that he began each program session, which provided services to children, with a non-sectarian prayer that at times included a brief reading from the Bible. Whoopsh. Finally, one faith-based organization program manager told them that she discussed religious issues during the same time and at the same location as federally funded services if requested by a participant and no other participants objected. Okay, lady. All right. We have a guy, or several people in a group, perhaps. They show up for services. The one guy says, I really wish you would tell me about your religious, your church and stuff. And the lady says, well, if nobody objects, I'll tell you all about it. And the other people who are sitting there waiting for services don't object because they're scared if they do object, they won't get services. Come on, let's be realistic here. In its conclusion, the GAO reported, we found instances where faith-based organizations did not appear to understand the nuances associated with the equal treatment rule that prohibits faith-based organizations from engaging in inherently religious activities while providing services supported with direct federal funds. Okay, I'm going to just say this, and we may just jump off this one altogether, because I don't want to get into too much trouble. What I do want to say about it is this, and then we'll go over to our phone lines. Faith-based organizations that are providing religious teaching, counseling, praying, information on church services, etc., while they're being funded by federal dollars, are in violation of the law. If they want to do that kind of stuff, they just don't need to get federal money. It's very simple. Get it through the basket like every other church does. Okay? All right. It's about 26 minutes after the hour. We're going to go ahead and go over to the phone lines. Our good friend Peter from Tallahatchie, Florida is with us. Peter, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better than I deserve. How about that?
You had one of those storms coming through there, just about knocked you out again. I'm glad you managed to stay on the air today.
Well, I put everything into a canoe, and I'm in the backyard right now, but it's okay. It's all right. I got an extension cord.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make a couple of comments on the faith-based subject.
Please do.
Talking about it. You know, not only are they able to discriminate in hiring with federal dollars, they can refuse to hire Jews on religious grounds, but they can refuse to hire gays, they can refuse to hire unmarried women with children, they can refuse to hire unmarried couples who are living together. Not only can they discriminate that way, there's certainly a huge amount of crossing the line regarding separation of church and state, and I've seen this for a fact. One of the big mega churches here in Tallahassee has a food bank, and if someone applies for help at that food bank, you can't just go walking up there and walk into the food bank and state your situation and sign a form and walk out with food. You have to set up for an interview with the pastor to talk about your spiritual life, and of course the pastor is the huge mega church is normally kind of busy, and you might get an appointment a couple of days out. So, you know, it's pretty much they don't try to hide it. It's not subtle, and they don't try to hide it. The only place that anyone's trying to hide it, of course, is in the media. And of course, you're bringing out some points here that are very good at exposing that. But behind closed doors, so to speak, and in the faith-based community, it's just a joke that they. The separation of church and state has long been knocked over.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I think the other thing, Peter, that sort of really gets under my skin, and I hate to say this because I don't know how this is going to sound, but we'll just say it anyway, is that it really amazes me how a number of churches and a number of pastors who in the past would have been very much about civil rights and very much against a Republican kind of administration that lives on discriminatory practices, it amazes me how a lot of them have gotten behind this president because of the faith-based initiative. And I can't help but say that they're selling themselves out for money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been bought off. And this is also feeding the AIDS crisis. A huge amount of the AIDS funding goes to prevention or abstinence only programs, the Just Say No bit, and we all know that isn't particularly working. You know, there's something, a new piece of information I came across, and you know, I don't have kids, but it's a conversation with someone who's involved in counseling with folks that have kids and this sort of thing. And in any case, this man brought up broad piece, you know, talking about it in schools, you know, what, you know, this whole thing about being taught that condoms don't work, you know, you may not believe this, but this man came across with a lot of credibility. You just ask your kids, if you have kids who are, you know, high school or at the age where they may be involved in sexual activity, what they're doing is they're having anal sex. You know, this may not,
what?
Yes, this may not be the time to say that, but I'm talking about, you know, girls and boys, not guys. And because that's considered to be, you know, a sure contraceptive, but Bruce, you probably know, yes, anal sex is one of the main ways to transmit AIDS.
Is. You're right.
The whole thing is so screwed up. It's amazing. The man that I'm referring to here recently spoke at a conference I was at, and I'm going to refer the information to you. I would like you to be the one to interview him. He's an extremely powerful speaker and involved in activities, an advocate for both homeless and AIDS patients. It's just an amazing, amazing speaker. Basically, all you have to do is interview him, I mean, introduce him and get out of the way. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, that's the kind of interview I like, buddy.
Well, I've got one for you. I just need to pass the information to you. He was the man who was saying that. You know, he was also making that. You know, I hate to steal his material, but this is too good. You know, in the Bible, it talks about putting on the full armor of Christ, right? You know,
is that in Romans? Where is that? Is that in Romans?
I believe so. It's the helmet of the sword of salvation, the shield,
the breastplate, and all that stuff.
Right. Well, he fully believes that these day and age that the full armament of God includes a little latex. An amazing speaker. I'm so sorry I stole your line, but you got to have him. I'll tell you more about him later.
But I love really, it. I love it.
Yeah, the really, really, really reason I called, having said all that, did you know that there is an official presidential prayer team, and that in Christian bookstores they sell these books? It's called the official presidential prayer team book, and it has every day of the year there, and it has what you're supposed to pray for the president about, and you make your notes about what you prayed for, and anyway, this you know, they're making millions selling these things. But in any case, right now what they're doing is they're praying, they pray for the president as he seeks wisdom on how to legally codify the definition of marriage, and pray that it will be according to biblical principles, with any forces insisting on variant definitions of marriage. Pray that God's word and his standards will be honored by our government. Now, that's an absolutely true fact. That's what they're praying for right now. And
whatever happened to the idea of saying, like my dad used to say when we were growing up, he would say simply four words, your will be done.
Well, yes, and let go and let God, get out of the way. You know, God doesn't need help. There's a lot of them, and they all have a lot of validity. I came across this thing. I wanted to share it with you about the biblical definition of marriage, There's not very many, but I wanted to get these points out that if we're going to go by a biblical definition of marriage, I want to tell you what that is. And here's the way that the amendment should read. Marriage in the United States shall consist of a union between one man and one or more women. That's Genesis and 2 Samuel. Marriage shall not impede a man's right to take concubines in addition to his wives. That's Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. And a marriage shall be considered valid only if the wife is a virgin. If the wife is not a virgin, she shall be executed. That's Deuteronomy. Marriage of a believer and a non-believer shall be forbidden. That's Genesis, Numbers, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Since marriage is for life, neither this Constitution nor the Constitution of any state, nor any state or federal law, shall be construed to permit divorce. And that's, of course, Deuteronomy and Mark. And here's a good one. If a married man dies without children, his brother shall marry the widow. If he refuses to marry his brother's widow or deliberately does not give her children, he shall pay a fine of one shoe or be otherwise punished in a manner determined by law. That's Genesis and Deuteronomy.
Is this a comedy act?
This is absolutely true. What I'm giving you, I mean, it's phrased the way of this is how the law would read, but it's 100% based on the chapters that I'm quoting. And this is the last one. In lieu of marriage, if there are no acceptable men in your town, it is required that you get your dad drunk and have sex with him.
He
previously offered you up as a sex toy to old and young, to the old and the young. Also, you should tag team with any sisters you have. Of course, this rule only applies if you're female. That's in Genesis.
This is in Genesis?
Yeah, that's in Genesis. That's where they got the father drunk and because she
didn't have kids. This sounds like something out of Hustler, man.
That's Genesis 19, chapter 19, verses 31-36. I'll post this link in the chat room later. It's too good to.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy! Now, is this from a website or where'd you get this from?
This particular paraphrasing of the biblical text as it relates to how it would read in the law is from a site called Protestants for the Common Good.
And Protestants for the Common Good.
Mm-hmm. It's people of faith advancing justice in public life. It's www.thecommongood.org, and then the path to this particular document is, you know, / blah, 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 you know how that goes. So I won't even try to read it, but I will post it. But you should be able to locate it. If you did a search in thecommongood.org, if you're not in the chat room to see the link, you'd probably do a search for In Defense of Biblical Marriage. I think that's the way they have the article list.
Well, there's a lot of stuff. They were having a good time in Genesis, my friend. Whoa. We're talking about swingers, eh?
You know,
this is crazy.
You know, they had to, you know, they were only one generation removed from talking snakes. So, you know, they.
Peter, I appreciate your call. We got to take our break, but you want to hang on or you want to head on out?
I'll let you go because that's pretty much all I had. I'll get back into chat and post this link. I love you, dude.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Love you, too, and thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Take care. Bye.
All right. You, too. Bye now. That's our good friend Peter from Tallahassee, Florida, and we're going to go ahead and take our break. We're a little bit late on it, but that's okay because, you know, when we're doing conversation radio, you don't interrupt a conversation at home to go listen to ads, do you? Well, we try not to do that here, too, as much as possible. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 36 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website over at progressive.org. Yesterday, I talked to a grieving mom named Terry Jones. She lost her son Jason, an Army reservist, not in Iraq, but after he came home, a year ago. After being back just 4 months, Jason hanged himself. He was 23. As of today, the Pentagon says that 2,540 soldiers have died in Iraq, but they don't count the suicides back home. Terry Jones says there have been more than 70, like Jason, who suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder and took their own lives once they got back. Terry Jones is forming a support group with Gold Star Families for Peace to help other families cope with such tragedy. Jones, who lives in rural Iowa, flies her American flag upside down now to protest the lack of care for veterans. It's a distress sign, she says, and our vets are in distress, and our country's in distress, she adds. And though she lives on a 5-acre piece of land up a really long driveway, that didn't stop intruders from turning her flag right side up while she went to the grocery store one day, or from stealing it in the pole, too, in the middle of the night about a week later. But in talking with Terry Jones, I'm less struck by this hooliganism than by the gravity of the loss she has suffered. She wrote Jason a note recently and posted it on his memorial website. Let me read just a bit if I can, and it's not easy for me. Jace, Mother's Day came and went, and it was so hard not to hear from you. You always had something that you were so proud to give me. I still have petals from the pink roses you sent while in training, or all the drawings you loved to make. I hope you are in a sea of flowers now, honey. No worries, no pain, just happy and enjoying the beauty of heaven. I've been writing and talking about this war since before it started, and I've never been moved so much than by Terry Jones. This country is in distress, and it's people like Terry Jones who will, if anyone will, pull us out of it. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. We're about a quarter till the end of the show or so. This whole thing about the faith-based stuff, you know, I don't want to get off into something where some of these organizations don't do good work, because a lot of them do excellent work and don't do religious activities when they're performing their social services. However, there are some that do. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking there needs to be a realistic way of a check and balance, if you will. You know, just somebody who comes out and asks the question, or perhaps even a guideline that organizations can go by to say this is permissible, this isn't permissible. This is okay to do, this isn't okay to do. Okay? Because to me, it's more important to make sure that people get the proper guidance. Not more important. It is equally important to make sure people get the proper guidance, because they may not know what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. There should probably be a yearly training that these folks have to go, that should have to go to learn about what is okay and what isn't okay in doing work with these organizations. Now, I'm going to take a quick switch from today we're going to do, you know, and I'm going to try to do this as much as possible, but today is Wednesday. Now, we did veterans as a topic yesterday and did that very well. But today we're also going to do a little bit of a topic on veterans. And anyway, we're going to do the congressman or the I shouldn't say the congressman, the senator today who is most deserving of a whiplash for how he treats America's veterans. And today that senator is Larry Craig of Idaho, who gets a whiplash right on the backside there. One more time, Larry. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so we're going to do that. We're going to talk, give you a little bit of a story. Today, Larry Craig, chairman of the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, has long sought enrollment fees and higher copays for veterans. Yesterday, before a Senate subcommittee working on the 2007 appropriations bill for military and VA construction, Craig called veterans who earn $27,000 or more and have no service-connected disabilities least deserving. Other senators did not feel the same and blocked any increase in VA fees and also blocked an increase in TRICARE copays. Monies were diverted from military construction to accomplish this. Craig is also holding hostage funding for VA construction. So all those VA announcements about new clinics and hospital improvements mean absolutely nothing unless Craig gets some funding in the pipeline. And that's why today Larry Craig, Senator of Idaho, gets this little smack on the ass. One more time for you, Larry. There you go. Yeah, one more time. Okay, that's it for Larry. Now, moving right along, thank you, my good friend Cossack, for sending me that wonderful sound effect. I appreciate that. Moving right along, moving backwards, if you will, to another situation that's going on within the VA. Apparently today also the VA's number one attorney resigned in the wake of the data theft that happened. VA's general counsel, Tim McClain, has returned to the private sector, no doubt probably to a multi-million dollar job. He was criticized for not allowing centralized authority for the VA's central intelligence, not central intelligence, information officer. McClain apparently did the right thing and tried to stand in the way of this decentralization, and now he's paying the price. And this will lead the way for private companies to take control of the VA's Vista CPRS software, which is now open source and available to anyone. This is plainly and simply a power grab and a money grab, and so there you go. McClain is now out. Privatization is in. Now, the privatization. Now let's sort of tie all this up now. Let's wrap it up good, okay? But one more time. Let's give it to Craig. Let's give it to Craig one more time. What do you say? There you go. One more time. And you know, let's send one on over to George too. All right. Just having too much fun this afternoon. Well, you know, I mean, back in biblical times, people were whipped frequently. That was part of, they got 40 lashes back in the pilgrim times. 40 lashes. And that's the way that is. Where was I going to go back? Oh, yes, privatization. Moving right along. Faith-based organizations that are taking money from the government to do social services is an inherent privatization of social services that, in my opinion, should be rendered and by the government itself, not necessarily faith-based organizations. We're look at, you know, the deal is that the Bush administration and this Republican Congress looks at these faith-based organizations and says, either naively or crazy like a fox, well, these folks are already existing in the community. So therefore, why can't we channel some money or funnel some money or however we want to do it, create a pipeline of money to these folks, because they're already in the community, they're already doing good work, they're already providing services to people in the community, and they know the community and they know the people they're serving. We should just give them the money and let them do it. Well, the two things that are – well, several things that are inherently wrong with this, but the number one thing that's inherently wrong with this is that, you know, essentially what we've said today is that they're using a lot of this money to do religious activity. And using government money, taxpayer dollars, to fund a religious enterprise is a flagrant violation of the separation of church and state. Now, as Peter's mentioned earlier in our telephone call, the separation of church and state has become sort of a joke. nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Nigel. For the, where did that come from? For the folks who are, you know, who are availing themselves of this money, a lot of them understand that they can pretty much get away with whatever so long as they, turn in their grant reports on time and the dollars and the reports match up and they're not egregious in what they're doing. Now, the problem is that no one's complaining. Why? Because in many instances, that these organizations are the only organizations in their localities. And so if someone calls their congressman or blows the whistle on some of the activities that are going on, of course in this administration, of course in this particular political climate, there is no accountability. So even if they did do it, it wouldn't amount to anything. Maybe a little bit of press, but that's about it. But the majority of these folks, they're not going to complain, because this may be the only place that they can get their social services. So if they blow the whistle on one of these organizations that is using government money to do praying and preaching and Bible thumping and transgressing and all that other stuff, if they blow the whistle, they may not be allowed to ever go back to these places. You know, and that, in my view, is the most egregious of all of these wrongs. Is the use of religion hanging over somebody's head like a big hammer and saying to them, unless you think as we do, unless you do as we do, unless you want as we, you know, as we are prescribing, then you don't get services, you don't get a bed, you do not get food for your table or for your children. And that, to me, is the biggest crime of all. And I really firmly do not think that any religious deity would be okay with that. You know? Not based on the reading that I've done of Christ, which, you know, that's, you know, Christianity is the largest segment of the population in the United States. Not based on my reading of the Bible would Christ accept or think that that's okay. You know? And, you know, the other thing that's absolutely reprehensible about this is that when you privatize things such as social services to outside organizations, you lose control over how the money gets spent. Now, is the money being spent on administrative costs? And what kinds of what's the ratio? You know, are we looking at paying pastors double? Are the pastors also doubling as executive directors? And are they making one salary from the church and another one for running this, for doing the day job of being a director of an organization that is affiliated with their church? And are they also running businesses such as thrift stores to run the operations to funnel money back into the? I mean, you know, this thing can get to be a very tangled web, is what I'm getting at. And, you know, if there aren't clear safeguards in place and a method by which that there is a check and balance, an accountability factor, then essentially what we've got is a free-for-all. And that's what's going on right now, according to the General Accounting Office. Now, a lot of churches and a lot of faith-based organizations are indeed following the rules. I know of several that work very hard to follow the rules, mainly because, you know, it's not about the religious part of it. I mean, the religion motivates them to go do and to go help and to go be a part of and try to help bring about social change and all that good stuff. But what's more important is helping people. What's more important is helping people. Because you cannot, there's no way in the world, if you're a religious person, there's no way in the world that you're going to be able to force, or I shouldn't say force. Let me revise that. There's no way that you're going to be able to offer up a realistic approach at religion to anyone if they're hungry, or if they need a bath, or if they're feeling miserable because they have to sleep outside every night. There's no way that you can say to that person, what you need is Christ, if what they really need is something to eat. Because trust me, you know, once you feed the body, maybe the spirit will perk up. But until then, the spirit doesn't give a damn. The spirit's saying, you know, I'm hungry. And everything is focused on that. Now, having been someone who was homeless at one point in my life, I know very well the gnawing that can happen at the edges of your stomach when you haven't eaten in several days because you have no money and you have no way to eat. And you're too proud to ask for it. You're too proud to go stand and hold a sign saying, we'll work for food or whatever. If you really want to feed the spirit, ladies and gentlemen, feed the body. If you really want the spirit to come alive and to want to seek things such as religious conversion, then help the body not have needs. Because that, in my view, and I could be totally wrong about this, but in my view, that's where the real work is done. That's where the real conversion is done. That's where the real practice of spiritual principles is done, is when you go out and you help another human being without expectation of reward or without expectation of someone becoming aligned with your particular political, religious, or whatever philosophy. You just help because you feel like helping. You just give because it's the right thing to do. No strings attached. That's real service. That's the kind I like to do. You've been listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 4 minutes before the hour, and we're going to go ahead and close this puppy out. But I wanted to say before I get gone today how important it is. Number one, accountability is a principle, and it's a positive principle. We can live with accountability. And not only that, but responsibility. You know, if we can try to practice those two things between today and tomorrow, this broadcast brought to you by the letter R, responsibility, then maybe we'll have a better life. Glad to be back with you again today. I'd like to thank my newfound producer, Zach, for producing the radio program today, the brand newest member of the Head On Radio Network. Also want to thank my good friend John Fox for being the announcer and the chief engineer for the Head On Radio Network. Our good friend Peter G. of Tallahassee for being the guy that keeps our computers spinning round and round, and where they stop, nobody knows. Also want to thank my good friend Gene from Oregon for being our chief blogger and Head On Headlines guy. And also want to thank the listeners, guys. You rock. Thanks for joining in with me today. And last but not least, the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. You guys really rock. And before I leave, remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. So get out and try to make a difference, because it belongs to you. This has been Bruce Birch for the radio, Head On Radio Network and the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Glad to be back with you again today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.